Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody had a blessed weekend and a magnificent Monday right now. I see it looks like Texas is starting to pull back through and getting everything situated, so we'll still be praying and supporting them. Got a lot of stuff going out there. I've talked to a few people that we've been helping with donations going out there, so hopefully they can get that whole area situated. And it looks like now there's a nice big hurricane headed up towards Florida, so we'll be getting ready for this one now next week, so that's always a joy when those come through. But other than that, everything's going good down here at Health Masters in Central Florida. How are you doing today, Dad?
Oh, doing absolutely wonderful. And again, Coach Thabermeyer is out there with boots on the ground working in Houston, so we all need to back him up. If you need to send money to Houston Relief, send it to Coach Dave. And I think we're going to be talking about that this Friday night. I'll be back on with Hagman, provided I have power and the hurricane's not here. I'll be back on with Hagman for the full 3 hours on Friday night of this week. So I want to start opening with a story today, Austin. Last week, I didn't get a chance to report on this. And by the way, our producer, Todd from Global Star, his son got married on Friday, and that's why we ran a tape on Friday, and that's why I ran The Blood of Christ, because I love running that show whenever we get a chance. So the guys, let you know, I hope you enjoyed that over the weekend, because they got to play all weekend on the recorded line. But last week, a nurse in Salt Lake City was brutally arrested by a police officer when she refused to give blood from a person that was brought into the hospital unconscious from an accident. And the officer wanted a blood draw from him, and she said, absolutely not. And she said, we can't do it unless he's been arrested or he consents, or basically you have a warrant. You have none of those. You can't do it. He said basically she was obstructing justice, and he violently threw her hands behind her back, violently basically handcuffed her, and violently dragged her to the police department to arrest her. You know, you can't make this stuff up. You can't make it up. And so I was hoping that this is not going to be one of those nasty things that happened to me at the BMW dealership years ago when I was having some ice cream, and I had a similar experience with some local, very corrupt Lakeland police officers, which everything got dismissed on all that mess. But that was one of the craziest things I've ever seen over a silly, what was it, a
seatbelt check.
And I was wearing my seatbelt, and I was in a little bitty sports car running around, didn't see anything, and didn't know where they were. They had no lights on, no sirens, no cones, no nothing. And all of a sudden, they said they waved at me from some distant place, and I didn't see them, so they chased me to the BMW dealership. That turned into a big brouhaha. So when I see things like this happen, I know exactly, I mean, literally, guys, I know exactly how she feels when you're not even doing anything, sitting there having ice cream at the BMW dealership, getting your car washed. And it was funny, but the officer who arrested the Utah nurse, you know, a viral video, is now under criminal investigation. And quite frankly, I hope this blithering idiot loses his job. I hope that he basically goes to jail for at least 6 months. And I hope that she sues the crap out of the Utah Police Department, excuse my language, because there's got to be some point when you can't allow this stuff to end with just an apology when you're treated like that and basically arrested in handcuffs. And of course, she wasn't charged for anything. In fact, the 2016 Supreme Court ruling suggested a nurse was right not to allow Payne to even obtain any blood alcohol test without a warrant. So this whole thing to me is just another giant infringement on our individual rights when we have people like this police officer who simply, they don't even know the law, and because they're wearing a badge and they're trying to force you to do what they want, and when you don't want to do it, what ends up happening is you get yourself arrested and handcuffed. I'm surprised she wasn't charged with resisting arrest, because she actually told him that she kind of fussed at him and all that kind of stuff during the arresting. You watch it. And I'm really surprised, because she didn't go willingly into the slaughter and basically say, I don't want you, this is not right. I'm surprised she was also charged with resisting arrest. And the only reason that this is not escalating towards anything with her is because the video went viral. And guys, that's the absolute truth, because once you shine a light on these cockroaches who act like this, they don't want anybody to know about it, because they don't want to build a giant jury case against them in a court of law so they can have damages for what happened. That's how this works. Because remember, even if she's not being charged criminally, which she's not, there was no charges brought against her, she now has a right to sue the Salt Lake City Police Department, and basically they're going to have a hard time finding a jury that's not going to award her a large punitive damages for what she went through. What do you think, Austin?
No, you're absolutely right, and it's sad because we've seen stuff like this happen repeatedly, man, with really corrupt police officers who essentially get on that power trip, and that's what a lot of it comes down to. And majority of cops that I know, they're really great guys. I mean, they really are law-abiding citizens. They're constitutionalists. They're patriots. They're awesome. But then you get some individuals that, in my opinion, go into police force for the sole reason of being an authoritarian nightmare, so they can wave their badge around and wave their gun around and try to force people into submission, and basically everybody has to listen to them, and they essentially get off on that type of power and authority. And those type of people do not belong anywhere in any type of element of police activity whatsoever, because all they do is abuse their powers. The same thing that we saw in Lakeland. That's why a large percentage of the Lakeland police force was terminated, not just because the incident happened with Dad, but repeated incidences, including his, over and over and over again. When you start seeing the same officers being involved in very similar incidences over and over again, it's time to really have a significant external investigation and not just allow internal affairs to look at the problem and really see what's going on. And I'm really glad that nothing happened as far as she wasn't injured, anything like that, when the police unlawfully handcuffed her. But I'm really, really happy too they got it on videotape. Also too, I wanted to make sure I give everybody a heads up. I'm real big into vehicles. I like different cars and trucks. Be very aware right now, guys, over the next couple months, if you see any vehicles coming out of Texas or any vehicles that have dirty Carfaxes with basically water damage or anything like that, there's between 500,000 to a million vehicles right now estimated to be completely waterlogged salvage vehicles now in Texas. And I remember about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I was looking at a Chevy 1500 four-door that was on eBay. There's a whole group of them. There's like 10 of them that this guy was selling on eBay. And they're real nice, four-wheel drive, like leather. I mean, loaded up sticker on them was like $50,000 trucks. They're like brand new, had like 10 miles on them each. And he had them on eBay for like, buy it now, 21 grand. And well, that's obviously too good to be true. Let's figure out what's going on. So we ran the Carfax on it, and basically they had full salvage, waterlog, water damage titles. Basically, they were worthless vehicles to the insurance company. They dumped them. And of course, I contacted the guy and I asked him. I said, "What's going on with these? You guys are selling them really good price, but they're saying they're basically salvage water titles. You know, they're submerged." And he goes, "No. What happened was they were on a dealership lot. The lot got flooded. They're four wheel drive." So the water came like halfway up the tires. No water ever entered the vehicle or got in the motor compartment. They're completely fine. They're perfect vehicles. They run spotless. And I said, "Well, is there any type of warranty on them?" And he said, "Well, no, because they're salvaged now. There's zero warranty expressed or implied from GM. I said, "Well, is there any type of financing available on them?" He said, "No, they have to be a cash deal. So you basically have to buy it from me cash, no warranty. I give you the salvage title and the truck's yours." And I said, "Well, 21 grand's no longer a bargain anymore." I said, "They're worth about 8 to 9 grand to me, because that's all they're ever going to be worth." And of course, I didn't buy it from him. But this is what you're going to see a lot now out of Texas, especially with the newer vehicles. A lot of older vehicles, people are just going to trash them. Insurance companies are going to dump them and they're going to be gone. But when you have giant lots of brand new pickup trucks and cars that have fully been submerged now, which has happened out in Texas, you really, really need to make sure you know what you're buying now before you buy anything out of Texas or anything coming out of that state in the next couple months, Dad. So be sure to check the Carfaxes.
Well, that's important, because it's also important to call the buyer up. But here's the thing. The insurance company, they fully salvage these vehicles. They're done. They have their dirty Carfaxes, salvage titles, no financing. And personally, I think the guy was lying. I think they were fully submerged. I think they went underwater, or there's no way the insurance company would not have done this on a base-by-base point. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to – if half the lot went underwater, they're not going to salvage the entire lot. They're not going to do that. You know, they're going to do half the lot. That's all they're going to do. So I don't believe the guy. I think he was running a pretty good scam, especially since he couldn't finance. He had to pay cash. There was no recourse with the bank. So the banks won't even touch him. Remember that. That's why they have to do that. But think about this too. You know, Texas wanted to start its own gold reserves last year, and all of a sudden Harvey hits Texas like this, because you know they want to do their own gold reserves. Also, there are literally 500,000 to 1 million automobiles right now in the pipeline to dealers that are not selling. The automobile industry is hit by a huge slump this summer, and it hasn't changed. It's still bad, because what's happening is all of the used cars they're not worth the value. They're not worth what owed on them. Those people can't trade them in any longer. They're having to eat the doggone negative equity. So what's happening is a lot of dealerships are doing very badly right now. So this is going to massively speed up this pipeline of cars that are sitting at the dealership lots or at the GM factory or at storage lots right now, and they're all going to be shipped to Texas. And we've got a million vehicles fixing to be sent to Texas because of water damage on the half a million to a million out there right now. So guys, think through this for a second. Are the globalists going in, trying to push the automobile industry up, push up fuel prices, you know, push up over 100,000 homes damaged or destroyed now in the flooding from this Harvey? So all of this stuff is happening right now as we speak. This is what these guys do, because remember, these guys, these Sabbateans, they play both ends against the middle. They own the housing. They own the stock market. They own the Fortune 500 corporations. They own the major stocks in all of these major oil companies and all the gas companies. So no matter what they do and how they hurt people, they basically get money from it and for it. I mean, it's the craziest thing. And if they don't get enough money, or if the insurance company starts to go belly up, the taxpayers have to fix it, Austin. And that's what they did back in 2007 and 2008. They just print more money. They bill it back to us, and they say, okay, you guys pay us off and pay us out again. Look what happened to that one big insurance company that we had to bail out for almost, what, $800 billion. I mean, this whole thing is complete and total nonsense, what they do and how they continually pump and dump, pump and dump, pump and dump. And now we're finding out that all that fracking they've been doing all over the country, remember, they're also injecting the aluminum and the barium and the strontium directly into the soil, the same stuff they spray in the skies they put in the fracking material they're putting into the soil, which basically creates, again, more of an electrical charge in the soil. Now we're having an earthquake swarm in southeast Idaho. 62 earthquakes have struck southeast Idaho since Saturday evening. Guys, it's like 48 hours. This is nuts. The strongest earthquakes to hit the region in years, as well as 61 smaller quakes, occurred Saturday night to Sunday night in southeast Idaho. Remember, this is getting closer to Yellowstone. Startling tens of thousands of residents. Authorities said it does not appear the quakes have caused any injuries to people or significant damage to structures. I mean, the quakes were felt in Caribou County, where all 62 occurred, as well as in cities in northern Utah and throughout southeast Idaho. It's unknown when the earthquake swarm will end. Earthquake swarms have been continued and known to continue for weeks or even months. Guys, they're doing something with the planet. I'm just letting you guys know that. They're doing something to the planet, especially dumping all these conductants into the soil, into the upper crust. So let's see how this story plays out. What do you think about this, Austin?
Yeah, it is odd. I mean, there's all this stuff. I mean, we just had this monster hurricane absolutely just beat on South Texas over there. I mean, one spot got 52 inches of rain in like 4 days. And now we got this other monster hurricane that's coming up now right below Florida. There's definitely something very odd. You know, I was telling my buddy about this the other day. You know, the South is a very, very resilient part of the country. We're also very, very heavily armed, and we're also usually pretty conservative and pretty strong patriots down here. And it seems quite odd to me, just a little too coincidental, that all this weird stuff is going on right now at the same time they're trying to divide the entire country with all their racist rhetoric through the mainstream media. At the same time, all we hear is the bantering about North Korea is going to launch a hydrogen bomb now with the ICBM missile and all this other nonsense that I keep hearing about, that in my opinion, I've told you guys this repeatedly, I don't think they have the technology or the ability to even do this. I think a lot of this is fear-mongering right now to go start another war. Now there's been rumors that basically Trump said that if China doesn't cut off North Korea and sanction them 100%, that the United States is basically going to sanction China and no longer do any trade with them. I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't. But again, in my opinion, it's more fear-mongering. They're trying to stir up the pot and get more fear through the mainstream media. That would be an insane thing to do and really start a significant war on that side of the globe. But all this stuff is just too coincidental to happen at the same time. I told you guys last week, we also have, you know, Mathis basically coming in and saying that we're sending over a undisclosed amount of troops into Afghanistan, and that was 2 days after the found out that we don't have 8,400 troops in Afghanistan. We have 11,000 troops in Afghanistan. At the same time that Trump said we're basically pulling the ban off the militarization of the United States police force program that allows the police to get all the military equipment like machine guns, night vision, MRAPs, all that stuff, that's been lifted now so the police can get more grants for free military gear. All this stuff seems very oddly timed to me and all really close together to be entirely too coincidental. And now they're saying we have a Category 5 hurricane coming straight up the middle of Florida the beginning of next week. Very oddly timed for a lot of this stuff, Deb.
Well, you know, if you really want to cripple the country and really force it into a recovery mode and really stimulate the economy, throw a bunch of natural disasters into it. And yeah. Right now we've got, like I said, we have a major problem with the automobile industry. The housing industry is doing very well already, and we don't need to hyperinflate that thing anymore. It's just going like crazy here in Florida, you know, which is ridiculous. Another, you know, boom and bust cycle they're putting us through. But the reality is this. This is going to massively stimulate everything, but look at the carnage it's going to cause in order to do it. I just don't trust these guys. I really don't. By the way, these chemtrails that we've talked about are, as Dane Whittington likes to call it, the geoengineering. They're destroying the Florida citrus. The soil here is getting so contaminated with aluminum, and these Florida citrus trees are not aluminum resistant. Right now, Florida citrus acreage continues to shrink. Just last year in my county alone, my county, not Florida, we had 6,500 acres come out of citrus. Everywhere you drive where we live, there are dead orange groves. People call them, you know, orchards. But there are dead orange groves. Florida citrus acreage fell to a new low last year to 454,000 acres. To where they lost 25,000 acres of orange groves last year alone. And it's getting worse, guys. Some of the areas that we live in right now, and we'll take a video of this, and we'll send it to you guys, we'll post it online. Some of these areas, the entire groves, I mean, hundreds of acres in all directions are completely and totally dead. And see, they're not counting these coming out of production because they haven't been pushed up yet. They're still trying to salvage citrus on these particular groves. But we have literally tens of thousands of acres right now in our county that we live in of citrus that is completely and totally blighted, dead, and gone. And the sad thing about it is, Austin, nobody will talk about the soil testing and the aluminum in the soil and the barium and the strontium and all the things that are coming down from the sky. They simply won't talk about it. It's kind of like the National Meteorological Society. They basically gag ordered. They can't talk about the chemtrails. They can't talk about geoengineering. They can't talk about anything. They can't talk about all the strange stripes and strange skies and strange, you know, clouds in the skies. They're not allowed to talk about that. They've been gag ordered on any of that because, remember, the Doppler radar systems are all licensed to the military. And they're told, if you start talking and running your mouth about what's going on, what you're seeing as a trained meteorologist, we're going to pull your Doppler license, and you're not going to have to be able to, you're not going to have weather. And weather's still the number one draw on almost every single news cable channel when they have a Doppler radar system, because people are always tuning in wanting to see what the weather is. What's your next story, bud?
Well, this is pretty wild now from what we're seeing. These mob rule is now ruling all over the place in the country now. We're having multiple peaceful protests in multiple areas of the United States. I mean, all over the place. And these mobs are showing up now with Antifa or with the illegal immigrant, basically, mobs, and they're coming in now. San Diego, Chicano Park, yesterday afternoon, hundreds of angry mobs of protesters that were coming in to basically protest a pro-Donald Trump group that had a patriotic picnic in a public space over there. I kid you not, literally like nine guys showed up for what they called a patriotic picnic. They didn't have big banners. They didn't have picket signs. They didn't have giant megaphones. They weren't screaming. They basically went to eat lunch at the Barrio Logan Park, which has a bunch of Latino murals all over it. And word spread about this, and so a counter-demonstration group dubbed the Solidarity Gathering was planned for noon. And multiple news sources reported a massive police presence with officers from both the San Diego Police and California Highway Patrol when they found out about this. Law enforcement even blocked off numerous routes, including a freeway off-ramp, to maintain order. The Times of San Diego reports that the counter demonstrators were brought together by a Facebook event for the gathering. The Patriotic Picnic Tour was basically videotaping on YouTube and shows a group a little more than half a dozen or so around a picnic table, and they're eating pizza. As one of the group was filming some of the murals and doing his commentary on what was going on with the group, a line of police officers basically lined up on the sidewalk, about two dozen police officers. Within minutes, the police officers and the group were surrounded by over 300 people wearing brown berets, ski masks, bandanas, waving communist and Mexican flags. Shortly after forming the human police barrier, the police were forced to retreat from their own line as the mob began to surge across the street in every direction. About two dozen officers surrounded the pro-Trump activists in order to protect them from the agitated and angry protesters. They reported that the counter demonstrators attacked, their motives for attacking these guys was because the patriotic picnic that was sitting there eating pizza was promoting hate. Their words, promoting hate. After about 15 minutes, the pro-Trump activist group was ordered by the police department to leave the park. The pro-Trump activists, the nine individuals there that were eating pizza, were ordered to leave the park, and the entire group was escorted through the crowd, taunted by the counter demonstrators, shouting, "Nazis go home, racist go home." This is what happens when you allow mob rule. This is going viral all over the place. Repeated incidences like this are happening all over the country. The police departments are repeatedly siding with the mobs. They're making these guys leave these situations because they don't want to deal with it, and there's too many of these individuals showing up. And the sad part to me is, in any normal country, illegally entering the country, then perpetrating violence against law-abiding citizens that are in that country while holding up your flag of your home country gets you sent to jail or much worse. I mean, imagine if we did this in Mexico. They're having a protest. 8, 9, 10 people in Mexico are having a protest, and hundreds of us white individuals show up in ski masks and basically start throwing up American flags, screaming, yelling, cussing, and trying to fight everybody until the police finally have to get and surround the group of the nine peaceful protesters and escort them out. Imagine if we did that in another country, what type of backlash there would be. They would not escort the individuals out. They would show up with the military with machine guns and belt-fed M2s with 50 cals on top, and they would say, "You guys are going to leave this scene immediately, or we're basically going to engage you with deadly force." That's what would happen in almost every single country if we did this. However, the United States, for some reason now, mob rules, and it's quite irritating to me, and it's very sad because this is starting to escalate rapidly all over the United States, Dad.
The sad part about all of this is having to talk about it. We knew this was going to happen with the unbridled immigration. We brought in tens of millions of illegal immigrants into the United States, brought in over 100 million in the last 30 years. I mean, this is absolutely insane what's happened in the United States and how the United States has lost its cultural identity. You're exactly right, Austin. They throw you so deep into a Mexican jail, you wouldn't know how to get out if they didn't kill you or shoot you at the same time. Probably get shot. You probably would never see jail. You'd probably be killed on the spot. Mexico doesn't play that game. The only countries that play that game are Germany and France and, you know, and Austria and all the rest of them, and the United States, all of us who have been politically brainwashed into believing that, you know, we have to be multicultural. Remember, multiculturalism is so they can create mongrel races of all of us. That's all they want. They want a bunch of mongrels. They don't want to have an Hispanic identity or a black identity or a white identity or a Russian identity or a China identity. They don't want to have any of that. I mean, we all should be proud of who and what we are. I'm proud I'm a white guy. And here's the thing. They don't want that because the nationalism that Trump sparked by running like he did and saying, "Hey, look, make America first again," has gotten these guys really, really angry because they don't want to be in a situation where they're having to tell us the truth. They don't want this. They want a mongrelized world. They want a gelded group of men. They want all of us basically to do what they want us to do in every aspect of be obedient, you stupid slave. That's what they want. That's where they're headed with this. That's where all of this is going. And when Trump's nationalism, when he started doing the rhetoric like, "Hey, why don't we just make America first again? Why don't we get America's jobs back? Why don't we get America's factories open again?" When he did this, it spooked him because remember, these guys are international corporations. They're globalists. They own everything in every corporation. They don't want to trade war with China. They're thinking, why would we want to stop producing junk in China and shipping it to the United States? I mean, we're making money on all the junk that comes in from China. They don't want to do that. They want to continue to enslave the population of the planet, get rid of all individual ethnic identities. That's the problem I have with all this stuff, guys. We all need to maintain our individual ethnic identities. Not that any group of us are any better than anyone else, because I don't believe that, or racially superior. I don't believe that. But what I do believe is this. They won't allow themselves to be ethnically violated, but they will definitely do it to the rest of the planet. That's what bothers me more than else. That's why these bloodlines, they interbreed so much so they maintain their pure genetics. And I could do a whole show on why they do that. It has to deal with satanic possession and a bunch of other stuff, but I won't. But this is absolutely awful. This is all happening awesome. But speaking of the incredible liberals, Seattle actually did something that I agree with this time. And I don't really agree much of anything that comes out of Seattle. Seattle is actually banning plastic straws and utensils at restaurants next year. Now you say, why do you care about plastic straws and utensils? Guys, this is a major problem. When you have plastic knives, plastic forks, plastic spoons, plastic straws, all of this stuff in restaurants all over Seattle and all over the United States, you literally end up with tens of millions, hundreds of millions of plastic spoons, forks, and knives that are going into landfills every single year and are not being recycled. This is a major, major, major problem that we have in the United States. I think the restaurants should be giving forks out, regular metal forks, and people are eating there. And if people are taking something to go, I guess they should just bring their own fork with them and learn how to take their own forks. Because this whole thing of having this, we all have to work together. Because guys, we've got landfills here in Central Florida, and they like, because we're flat here, we're like, you know, 60 feet, 100 feet above sea level. We don't have a bunch of mountains here. And so what ends up happening is these little mountains start showing up everywhere, these giant piles of trash. I mean, why is that okay? We've got to start recycling. We've got to start recycling the plastic, the paper, all of this stuff. And we've got to all work together as a team, so to speak, to stop this. We recycle glass and plastic. And I know our county now, they've actually put little plastic bins down for you to put stuff into. They're not nearly large enough. Some of the cities now are using full-size garbage containers for recycles, and they need to do that with everybody. Because, guys, this is a major problem. As we continue to go more and more into this plastic generation that we're into right now, Austin, if we don't start recycling this mess, we're going to run out of landfills and we're going to have a giant mess on our hands.
Yeah, we are. And they've made movies about this almost. They've been almost spoofs, but there's been multiple movies where, you know, I mean, in another 150, 200 years down the road, there's literally giant piles of trash all over the world because there's just no place to put it all anymore. You can only have so many landfills. And as the population density increases as rapidly as it is right now, more people start spreading out into more property, and then you start having more trash accumulate even faster and fill up the landfills even more quickly. So yeah, I'm definitely a big proponent of recycling. We do it all the time here. We got a recycling bin here at the office. Like all the extra cardboard we have, we take it once or twice a week. We took a huge dump today over to the cardboard recycle bin over in Auburndale. And a lot of this stuff's basic, guys. It's simple. I mean, it doesn't have to be difficult. I mean, you don't have to go so berserk with it where you're every single crumb, every single piece of plastic, every single thing that's in your house has to be divvied up in some specific trash bag for some recycle bin every single day. I'm not saying that. But, you know, doing basic stuff and just doing very simplistic stuff goes a long ways, especially if we all do it together. Because just doing a little bit, one at a time, each person, makes a huge difference in, you know, in the massive group scheme of things. But also, too, in the other news I wanted to talk about today as far as with preservatives, a new study that was just published in the Nature Communications, the researchers tested the preservatives BHT, PFOA, and TBT. Now, these are all very common preservatives that are still used in the United States regularly in processed foods, primarily packaged foods. BHT is very common. It's in a lot of almost all regular cereals, Chex Mix, snacks, Pringles, different types of oil. Very common. It's a fat-soluble preservative that's added to foods to slow down oxidation. PFOA is a man-made chemical that's common on cookware, and TBQ is a stabilizer in plastic products. Almost all the products you get that are wrapped in plastic that are essentially the cardboard box food, microwave food, are all contaminated with TBT because of the plastics that they're in, and almost all of them have BHT in them as well as a preservative. But for the experimental part of this study, the researchers obtained blood samples from adult participants, then converted these cells into induced stem cells, which they grew into two different kinds of tissue. The first was epithelial tissue, similar to those lining in the digestive tract, and the second was neural tissue from the hypothalamus, the region of the brain that controls metabolism and appetite. One by one and in combination, the researchers exposed the tissue to the three chemicals while observing what the cells did. Specifically, they tested to see how the chemicals would interfere with the brain signals that told the stomach when it was full or satisfied. When the signals were disrupted or the system broke down, it caused people to continue eating and to gain weight. Out of the three chemicals, BHT was found to be the most harmful. The chemical disturbed the network that prepared the signaling hormones, rendering them ineffective. One other effect the chemical had was total mitochondrial damage, resulting in very poor metabolism. The combined effects of these chemicals was even stronger when they did them all together. Moreover, the chemical damage transpired in young cells, implicating that pregnant women and their babies would be particularly vulnerable to defective hormone system. And so this is something you guys have to understand. We talk about this all the time on the phone with individuals. When a lot of times people are having health issues, the first thing I ask them is, how much water are you drinking? How much caffeine are you taking in? How much soda are you drinking? That's always my staple. That's my starter, because that really right there shows me where their health ideology is at. The next question is, how much food are you eating out of cardboard boxes? How much processed food that's coming out of wrappers are you eating on a regular basis? Because this stuff, guys, when they process this stuff, not only are almost all these foods GMO, I mean, pretty much, I would say 90 to 95% of processed foods, almost all of them are GMO. Now, sometimes you get more organic stuff or more non-GMO stuff. That's kind of exempt from that, and a lot of them don't use any of these chemicals regardless. But almost all the cheap box stuff is containing this. There was even a study we talked about, it was like 2 years ago, where they found that artificial preservatives also increased the risk of metabolic disorders and inflammatory bowel diseases. The two groups of mice that they tested, one healthy and one genetically engineered to be prone to inflammatory bowel disease, were given the emulsifiers carboxymethyl cellulose and polyasorbate 80, two very, very common preservatives. The healthy mice became obese and developed glucose intolerance, while the second group increased the frequency and the severity of their condition. Both groups suffered chronic colitis, hypoglycemia, and insulin resistance by the end of the study. Read your food labels, guys. It is not a joke anymore. If you want to be strong and be able to stand up for a lot of the stuff that's going on right now, we all have to work together and eating the best we can so we can stay as strong and as healthy as we can. And that's pretty much my end of that, Deb.
The thing about this is, in Houston right now, a lot of people are still without power. A lot of people were not able to get their medicines and their medications. This is a short-lived storm. You know, a couple of weeks, everything will be restored out there, hopefully. And the sad part about it is, Austin, is that people don't understand. If you have an EMP that knocks out the electrical grid for an extended period of time and you can't basically refrigerate your insulin anymore, if you're an adult onset diabetic, you're going to be in trouble really, really fast. And so we have to understand something here as a group of individuals, that our health is super important when we can do something about it in particular. In other words, right now we haven't had an EMP hit the country. Right now we haven't had a problem with having a lack of refrigeration for insulin. So guys, think through this for a second. Everything you can do from a natural standpoint and get off of with healthy products or with good supplements like we have at Health Masters makes sense right now, especially in these end times. Think about all the people who can't get their psychiatric medication, all the people who can't get their insulin, all the people who basically are going to go cold turkey off of Prozac and Zoloft and all those different types of products that we know that you're not supposed to do that cold turkey stuff with, and all of what's going to happen to their moods and their mood disorders are all going to just surface all at once. This is not okay, guys. Work with your medical doctors if you're taking these prescription drugs now and find natural alternatives to these drugs and get off of this stuff as quickly as you can. We have a really good healthy blood sugar protocol at the office you can use that is great for adult onset diabetics as far as helping them stabilize and get normal blood sugar, because in the vast cases of these folks, it's so easy to correct the blood sugar by simply changing the diet and taking the right supplements. Now, here's another interesting story. This is interesting to me. a Sanhedrin, which is basically a group of Jewish leaders, or rabbis that are like a leading ruling council. They have, remember, the Sanhedrins are the ones who put Jesus on trial in front of Pilate. The Sanhedrin bans all Masonic Jewish marriages in Israel. I'm going to repeat that. Now, this is on WND. The Sanhedrin bans all Messianic Jewish marriages in Israel. So in other words, if a Jew converts to Christ and becomes a Messianic Jew, they can no longer legally marry or be married in Israel if they try to marry another Jew. Now, this is, blew my mind. This is actually going on. The state of Israel's religious establishment is taking its persecution of Messianic Jewish believers in Jesus to a new level. A rabbinic court or Sanhedrin has ruled that a Jew who believes in Jesus as the Messiah, Jewish Messiah, is no longer considered a Jew for purposes of marriage in Israel. This makes it impossible for two Messianic Jews to get married inside of the country. An Israeli couple who are Messianic Jews cannot marry in a traditional Jewish religious ceremony in Israel because they are considered converts to Christianity, a rabbinical court ruled on Tuesday, according to the Israeli newspaper Haaretz. It was the first time a rabbinical court has ruled on the issue of statutes of Jews who believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, after a Messianic couple requested they be married in Israel according to Jewish law or halakha. The couple was essentially told they would need to deny their faith in Jesus and deny him as the Son of God to have state-recognized Jewish wedding ceremony in Israel. All marriages in Israel are controlled by religious authorities, whether Jewish, Islamic, Christian, or Druze, according to the laws first handed down under the Ottoman Empire. These laws were retained by the British Mandate and continued after the State of Israel was founded in 1948. The judges wrote that if a couple declares before the court they have completely given up their Christian beliefs and rejected Jesus Christ, including their belonging to a Messianic Jewish community and missionary activities, the court will discuss their matter anew. Guys, you know, I don't even know what to say about this. I don't know what to say about this because this, to me, if you tried to do this kind of nonsense in the United States when two Christians couldn't marry or two Messianic Jews couldn't marry or whatever couldn't marry, they would be having protests everywhere. Gosh, they protest the guys that are in San Diego eating pizza. I mean, Austin,
yeah.
This is crazy to me that this country has been locked down like this and that they are this racist. And I'm going to say that again, that they are this racist towards Messianic Jews that they don't even consider them worthy of being state married in a Jewish ritual any longer. What do you think about this, Bud?
That is, it is pretty bizarre. I mean, especially everything that we have going on right now. It's total hypocrisy. I mean, it's what we see now, and I mean, that's what they're trying to push, is it's okay for them to do this, it's okay for them to do that, but everything in the United States now and everything over in Europe, what they want to do is force their way with the Muslim agenda and everything else on everybody. So, I mean, it's pretty sad to see this. Also, too, this is pretty bizarre out in California now. Probably one of the most bizarre job creation schemes I ever seen. Of course, it's coming out of Sacramento and California. As reported by Fox 40, the city council now just approved a program called Advanced Peace. All right, that sounds like a thing. I mean, who doesn't want Advanced Peace? So you read more. It's in which taxpayer funds will be utilized to pay criminals and gang members not to kill one another. Now, at first I thought this was a satire. It is not. They actually passed it as a job creation scheme that they're wanting to implement now. They went on to state, after a violent weekend of suspected gang-related shootings, Tuesday the Sacramento City Council took action to reduce bloodshed. It approved a controversial program called Advanced Peace, which offers cash stipends to gang members who remain peaceful. The program is already used in Richmond, Virginia. The program will offer cash payments to key gang agitators if they graduate from high school and stay peaceful. The lefties running the city of Richmond have said their program's reducing violent crime significantly. The program in Sacramento now is expected to cost the city a minimum of $1.5 million annually just to start off. Now, the whole idea of this, of paying thugs not to be thugs, is the latest anti-crime trend among basically the liberals, who have pretty much abandoned all principles of law and order that actually reduce crime. they're wanting to get essentially the close to $1,000 a month in some cases of these individuals. My question is, what's to stop the criminal element from actually committing more crime? What are they going to do, surveil these guys 24/7? What's to stop someone from getting payment, from demanding higher payment to not kill more people? I mean, Americans don't even support having their tax money used to pay off criminals. I know nobody supports that. I mean, there's like 50 different reasons why I can find this to be one of the stupidest ideas of the year. This is bizarre, Dad. I'm sitting there and saying, well, we're going to pay you guys if you become less violent. I mean, all you're doing is incentivizing them essentially as a terrorist cell and giving them money and saying, well, please don't be thugs. Please don't kill each other. It would be so nice of you. If you do that, we'll give you money. What does that make all the other individuals that aren't getting paid money? Oh, we'll start killing more individuals because if we do that, they'll start paying us money. We already spend literally billions upon billions of dollars a year in welfare. Why do we need to be giving millions of dollars away to thugs to try and promote them to not kill people? I don't really understand this, Dad. It's kind of boggled my mind a little bit after I read this.
Jim Rohn one time was being questioned at one of his group meetings. Rohn, that's spelled R-O-H-N. Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N, one of the best sales trainers, motivational speakers, personal development people I've ever listened to. I listened to him, gosh, 40 years ago now. Phenomenal, phenomenal man. A good friend of mine, did a lot of seminars with him back in the 90s. He's dead now. May he rest in peace. Somebody asked him one time, they said, you know, why do liars lie? And he goes, that's idle conversation. And they said, well, why is that idle conversation? It's because you've already answered your question. They're liars. That's what liars do. They lie. Okay? That's what they do. And that's what criminals do. To pay criminals not to be criminals, but give them money for being a criminal, is like asking a criminal not to be a criminal because you don't want them to be a criminal. It doesn't work that way. Because you can never give them enough money. You can never make them rich enough or wealthy enough or entitled enough to stop being a criminal. You're telling them it's okay to be a criminal. Just don't kill people while you're being a criminal. This whole thing is ludicrous. Again, that's that loony stuff going out in California that's permeating their entire culture. Again, it's from the leftist ideology. It's just a bunch of communists running around doing weird stuff. And speaking of communists running around doing stuff, Benjamin Netanyahu, the career criminal, his wife now, Sarah Netanyahu, is expected to be basically charged with, hang on one second, my iPad did weird things, to be indicted for fraud and pocketing over $100,000 in goods. Attorney General likely to inform Sarah Netanyahu of charges in a few weeks, source tells testimonies by state witnesses. Now, what's interesting about this is another one is now also hitting with Netanyahu, and one of his buddies that worked with him in basically buying submarines, U-boats, from Germany. He has a former chief of staff is being arrested right now for the submarine that's going on. Benjamin Netanyahu is a career criminal, period. Period. All right, I know the guy. Had dinner with him, actually, 25 years ago. He has got such a bad reputation in Israel. There are groups in his party now that are actually conservative who don't want to have Israel like this with the leading homosexual destination of the world in Tel Aviv, and they're trying to get him out. So now people around him, including his wife, are starting to be indicted and being charged with criminal activity, which he should also be charged. Perhaps they're using this, Austin, as a leverage point to get him out of office. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. It doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, a lot of this stuff is... Would you dig down into all this? I mean, almost all those big boys up there, I mean, they've all been involved in some type of corruption at some point. But once you start realizing that, I mean, to get to that level, you pretty much are compromised at some point. As sad as that is, not all of them, but a large percentage of them, you start realizing that a lot of this stuff is not what we think it is. I mean, that's why I keep talking again about why in the world are we sending more troops over Afghanistan? Why in the world are we allowing this stuff to continue to happen? It's because we don't have a choice anymore. The deep state has taken over. They have so much dirt on almost everybody that's in power now that they have dirt on more people than on people that they don't have dirt on, essentially. So there's a higher percentage of people they can control than that they can't. And this is what's going on, and this is what we're seeing all over the globe now, especially with the CIA and the United States government and the deep state, that they have this ultimate control over everything. And Trump, in my opinion, I really do think Trump's trying to do the best he can. I think his hands are tied with a lot of stuff. I think he's gotten himself into a pretty big pickle with a lot of this. But he really is trying to do as much as he can, because if he wasn't, I don't think the mainstream media would be so violently aggressive towards him and attacking every single word he says, because you guys already know the mainstream media is essentially there to stir up dissension, anger, hatred, and misinformation. That's pretty much what the mainstream media is, the gist of them, what they do with the globalists. That's what they do. They're just, they're prostitute media. And so every time something happens, they always want to slam any conservative, any value, any patriotic statement, anything Trump says. And now even this week, they basically, it was released on, I think, on Tuesday, they're releasing that Trump will be ending the Dreamers immigration program, the DACA program, D-A-C-A is what it's called, and Congress will have a six-month window to act. It stands for the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. It was established in 2012 under, of course, Obama, as it is usually referred to, and it protects young illegal immigrants. There's about 800,000 people that have signed up into this program, and if you've seen today, that's all everybody wants to talk about now, CNN, everybody. They're trying to eviscerate Trump. Of course, Ivanka and Kirchner saying that they disagree with Trump doing this and all this stuff now. And the problem is nobody wants to look at the fact what he's even talking about. He's not talking about deporting the individuals that are here, that have been in this program, that have jobs. He hasn't even mentioned that. What he's talking about doing is shutting down this program that is literally costing us tens of millions of dollars a year to essentially support illegal immigration. And to my knowledge, from the research that I've done, the idea of deporting anyone in the program is not even an option with him. He's already said that he wants to do what's best for the kids. But what he wants to do is shut down the program that is blatantly incentivizing people to send their kids here illegally without any type of paperwork. That's what this program did in 2012. If you actually look at the illegal immigration numbers when Obama started this DACA program, the immigration, the illegal immigration went through the roof after this, because essentially he put a big, giant welcome sign out that said, hey, if you're under the age of 18, or you just say you're under the age of 18, and you come to this country illegally, we'll essentially sponsor you, give you money, give you housing, give you free education, and pay for everything. And in turn, what it does, it opens a door, because then they can bring in their family once they get situated into the program, into this country. That's why, if you guys remember, there's literally been hundreds of kids that have gone on social media now that are proud to be illegal immigrants, completely proud of it, saying, I've gotten a $150,000 scholarship to Yale, and I'm illegal. That's what I want to tell everybody now. And they're proud of it, and that's what they're doing. I don't have a bit of issue of people coming here legally. I don't have a bit of issue supporting people that are trying to come here and make a life for themselves. That's what we're supposed to do, is help those that are basically not as fortunate or may not have the same abilities of us to get in certain areas. But to sit there and incentivize individuals in other countries and say, hey, come on over here, we'll give you free everything all the way up the ladder under the taxpayer budgets and what money we have to pay in, we'll charge it to them. Now that we have 800,000 individuals in this program, I think it is beyond time to shut this down and not incentivize this anymore, Dad. But again, like I said, the mainstream media is absolutely adamant that we basically have to sit back and accept this and say, no, 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 we should continue the program. We need to continue spending all this money. And I don't agree with it at all. I'm really glad he's shutting it down, but he's not deporting anybody right now that's in the program or kicking them out. That's total mainstream lies again.
I don't understand why we can't get rid of student loans and give free education in college. I mean, if we're giving money away, we might as well give it to the United States people that are here that are basically enslaved by their student loan debt. I don't know why we have to give billions and billions and billions of dollars to these guys and free everything when they weren't even born in this country, and yet we neglect our citizens in our country who have more of a right of being here and having access to free everything than they do. None of it makes any sense to me. I want to say one more thing about the nurse up in Utah. They videotaped what was going on with that police officer. That video went viral. If I had been videotaped that thing that happened to me at the BMW dealership, it would have gone viral too. And yes, guys, it was that bad. What's interesting about this is the cops, after everything happened to me, they lied under oath in their own little depositions under internal affairs investigations multiple times. I mean, yep. This is what these guys do. So I'm going to say this to you guys one more time. This is so important. if something happens, get your video camera out, get your phone out immediately, or have one of your family members do it, and start making tape. That's why they want to stop people from making tape and making videos, Austin, because it indicts them for the criminal behavior.
Yep.
That's why they don't want you to videotape them. That's why they're saying you can't videotape a police officer, even if he's on your property. Why not? You're on my property. Why can't I videotape you? I mean, are you kidding me? This is the nonsense that we run into, and this is why they're trying to make that illegal, to take more and more of our God-given rights away, Austin. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. That's why there's been multiple judges now in different states that have ruled that you have a legal right to videotape police officer interaction. And there's no constitutional grounds for it. That's why so many judges have been supporting it. Now, if you're sitting there and a cop's at a traffic stop and you run over to him and get involved in the middle of it and shove a camera in his face and start acting like a complete and total lunatic, I got that. You need to back off. You need to get away from him, because quite frankly, in a law enforcement position like that, when you're trying to do a traffic stop or basically tone down a situation, the last thing you need is some idiot running up you and shoving a camera in your face. However, if you're the one who's directly involved in the confrontation and you want to document the interaction for your own personal records, there is no legal grounds to sit there and force you to stop recording it. And what a lot of times you can do now is they make either the headpieces that you can put on your sunglasses, or if you have a front pocket, you can even put the phone in your front pocket if the camera sticks out of it, if it's tall enough, and you can sit there and put it right there, and that way you can interact in the conversation without sitting there having a phone right up in anybody's face, and it's much, much less confrontational, and yet it still gets the entire confrontation or whatever the situation is on camera. But I highly suggest to anybody, if you are having a situation like that, especially if you feel it start to escalate, you know what I mean, if you're getting a traffic stop and the cop's like, hey man, you were speeding, you need to slow down, I'm giving you a warning, you probably don't have to record much more of it, it's pretty much done at that point. But if you feel the situation really starting to escalate, or you're with one of your friends and they're in a confrontation and you feel like this is one of those cops in the small percentile range that I said that don't need badges, and you feel like it's going that way, start recording it immediately. I don't care what they say. You have an absolute constitutional legal right to record any interaction. They have no expectation of privacy in a public setting, period. They've already ruled that in numerous court cases. So, yeah, you're absolutely right about that, Dad.
Here's one more story. I'll let Austin finish up the show. Big Pharma, Novartis, they're going to now charge $475,000 for a cancer cure for leukemia.
Wow.
That's basically costs $20,000. They're going to, you know, do a 20-fold thing, or more than that, 25. And what was interesting, the cure was worked on for years and years and years with this drug by the national American taxpayers through the National Institutes of Health and the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and they helped to fund a revolutionary cancer treatment that sidesteps the devastating, ineffective chemotherapy, and instead, they re-engineer a patient's own immune system to find and destroy tumors. So this thing was done with our tax dollars, and all of the research was done with the tax dollars, and now they're going to make huge and huge amounts of profit on this by selling us our stuff back at a 20-fold margin for absolutely no reason at all. Basically, this is just like a stealing from charity. The article goes on to say, it appears that Novartis and other pharmaceutical giants have used charity organizations like LLS as a means to subsidize their research and developmental budgets, shifting cost of development to the charitable and keeping the profits to themselves. Now, if this surprises any of you guys, it doesn't surprise me. But again, we've talked about natural protocols to increase your immune system, including intravenous vitamin C, which in many cases have been shown to be very effective in working with leukemia patients, along with the other products that we have listed at healthmasters.com on how to strengthen your immune system. Guys, thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed the show today. God bless you guys. You guys are awesome. Thanks for supporting Health Masters. Thanks for being here with us and for us and listening to us and all of your thousands of emails you send in. Thanks for just being our friends. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us and all your other supplements from us. You guys are the bomb. You guys are awesome. Austin, I will write up the summary today. I'll go ahead and say goodbye, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, bud. Yeah, I saw that article earlier now, and that's what they've done. They've used like the last 20 years of R&D that's literally been in the billions of dollars now, apparently, from charitable donations and from taxpayer funding through a lot of the different stuff that they've done. Now this company's basically bought the rights and the advertisement rights and the patented to it, patentability to be able to sell it. And now they're charging, they're charging almost $500,000 now. And some were expecting it to go up even higher. And this is what Big Pharma does. This is notorious for what they do. And what's also wild is I read an article on that same thing where a girl that was in a experimental phase of this whole protocol that they found out to cure leukemia back in the late 2000s. And the doctor that did it, he said they cured her. They cured her leukemia. She's been cancer free for like 4 years now, which is pretty cool. The doctor said that to replicate it, it was a little over $20,000 on the testing that they did and the different experimenting that they did on her, and it worked. And he said for these guys to come in now and charge almost $500,000 is absolute usury. He said because this is what it cost them to do it on a small scale once all the research came in. And he said once it goes to automation and it's actually doing it itself, which that's what they do with the big pharmaceutical companies, he said it's going to be much, much less than $20,000 to produce this over and over again. And the company, you know, Novasac or whatever their name is that is doing this now, they said, well, we've spent a substantial amount of money buying the rights to this and everything else. But my question is, where is the line drawn? I mean, when you're talking $500,000 a pop, do you know what type of strain on insurance that's going to be? Not to mention people that don't have insurance are not even going to be able to come close to afford that most times. So it's pretty sad. But this, again, that's what the pharmaceutical companies do. But again, guys, thank you for all the support. Thank you for the emails. Got a lot of emails over the weekend. I've been replying to a bunch of them today. I appreciate all the support, guys. And thank you for buying your multiples through us and supporting us financially through that. It really keeps the show going. Just you guys buying a basic supplement like the Ultimate Multiple does wonders in keeping our show funded. Because as you guys know, we don't have ads. We don't have sponsors except for healthmasters.com, which is us. And we don't run any promos as far as any other people's companies on here. We don't have commercials. We don't have pop-ups on our websites. I refuse to do any of that stuff. We made sure we were going to keep this 57 minutes of news for you guys and keep it as clean and straightforward and as honest as we physically can. And that's what we have done, and that's what we will continue to do, guys. So we appreciate it. So be sure to check out the website at healthmasters.com. The magnesium brain food, very, very popular product I talked about last week, is still on sale until Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning, when the product of the week changes over. So be sure to go on the website and vote for the product of the week that you want to win. There's a couple of them right now that are pretty popular that are actually going very high votes. So be sure to be interactive with that and vote for it and check out anything else you need on there. Feel free to call us. It's Labor Day. We're open. 1-800-726-1834. Healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.